listen to every New England Revolution game online. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. This is The Soccer Show with your host, DJ Bean.
Saturday morning, the weather is what it's going to be. DJ Bean here with you on 98.5 The Sports Hub for The Soccer Show. As always, we kick off this fun little dance party with our fun little dancer, Jeff Lemieux. How are you, pal?
I'm fantastic. I wasn't expecting a weather report off the top, but I'm glad you gave it to me. Thanks for that.
Back when I did stuff at the other station, not to say that there's only two stations in the world, but
people know who you're talking about.
Another station, which, shout out them, love all my pals, I would do updates, like the hosts would do the updates, and I hosted a hockey show, so I would do the updates, and there was a weather part in it. But I knew nobody was really listening for the weather, so I'd get some jokes off.
Ooh, you say, getting jokes off? Doesn't sound right.
At the end of it, I'd be like, all right, I'd be like, Red Sox first pitch 7:10. Weather is a homonym. Because weather is a weather do be a homonym, my guy.
That is, you know, so that? David Bean of you.
You know that? W-E-A-T-H-W-H-E-T.
Wow.
It's a real which situation.
I'm learning so much on today's soccer show.
New England Revolution happened to be the best soccer team in the entire world right now by MLS standards. They pick up a win against a pretty bad Sporting KC side. And when I spoke to good friend Bruce Arena this week, I was excited because a reportery thing, or like a news story type thing, is, this is their 10th game of the season. That's a round number. Let's get into some, hey, as we hit game 10, how do you feel? And he said, I didn't like game 9, which, fair, 2-1 against a team that they probably could have smoked. And, yeah, the Revs were down some guys, but in that second half, I think there really was room for them to pull away, and didn't work out that way. But they did get two goals out of Giacomo Vrioni, who is continuing to increase his standing, I'll say, in the hearts of Revs fans. What did you see from that game?
Yeah, first of all, in MLS, 17 is the big game because that's the halfway point. That's the one I love. You're 17 games into the season. You've officially hit the halfway point.
But it's not a nice round number.
Some point in July, but it's the halfway point, which just sounds so good.
Yeah.
And it makes you sound super intelligent, or at least I feel like I sound intelligent when I say, hey, you're at the halfway point. Are you figuring out who you are this season?
Yeah.
And then they say, no, Jeff, you're an idiot. And then we move on. But at least I felt like I got an intelligent question in. The game against Kansas City was a classic take your 3 points and get out of there and forget about what happened. Because I think what was particularly concerning for the Revs in the second half of that game was the drop-off came when Kansas City went down to 10 men.
Mm-hmm.
They looked pretty comfortable, pretty solid up until Kansas City went down to 10, and then all of a sudden a struggling road team playing down a man really not dominated, but they were on the front foot for the last 30 minutes of that game. So the Reds came out of that Kansas City game saying, hey, it's great that we took 3 points from that, but if we perform the way we did for the final 30 minutes of that game against a top team in MLS like Cincinnati, who they host tonight, you're going to lose that game. So I think there was a little caution in those 3 points against Kansas City. But the silver lining, as you mentioned, Giacomo Vrioni seems like he's starting to find his feet in Major League Soccer. He scores 2 goals, 5 minutes apart. They were both strikers kind of goals. What I really loved about the first goal is the run that he makes. Ima Boateng gets down the left. Giacomo Vrioni curls his run to the back post. He then comes across the defender to get in front of him. First time finish. Then he's on the spot to bang home a rebound on a Carlos Hill shot that gets saved. So two kind of poacher finishes for Giacomo Vrioni, which is what you want out of him. Goals for him are going to build his confidence, and if you get a confident DP striker, that can only be a good thing.
And you mentioned Ima Boateng. We're seeing a lot of guys have to come in and out because although the Revs are first in MLS, they've definitely had their fair share of injuries, and there's for sure been lineup instability, but instability sounds on paper instability. In practice, it seems that most guys that have had to get a rare start here and there have handled it well. Boateng definitely last week.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of Revolution fans who are thrilled that Ima Boateng found his way back to New England this offseason, because
right,
the Revs had declined his contract option at the end of last year. Boateng had the opportunity to go out and kind of test the market. He ended up back in preseason with the Revs and earned a spot back on the Revs roster with his preseason performances. And with the way he played on Saturday night, again, last Saturday night against Kansas City, thankfully he's back in New England, because Ima Boateng, kind of the book on him, at least in New England, has been he's been fantastic off the bench. Anytime he has come off the bench late in the game and you get that kind of energy and that kind of speed down the wing, he has torn teams apart as a substitute. He hasn't performed nearly as well when he's had those rare opportunities to start. In fact, that start last week against Kansas City was his first start since last August. He had made 11 straight appearances off the bench. So to see Ima Boateng come in, get an opportunity to start, and have the type of impact that he did was fantastic, because he was, I think, the most dangerous player on the field for the Revs, certainly through the first 45 minutes.
We'll have the voice of the Revolution, Brad Feldman, join us for what I always say is the most fun part of the show, while Jeff is sitting right there staring daggers at me. But by then, Charlie has long signed off our virtual conversation, so he doesn't know that I'm saying Feldman's really the winner with this thing. And we'll also have Shalry Joseph, Revs legend, former captain, now assistant coach with the team. And in both those conversations, I'm sure we will hit plenty tonight's game against FC Cincinnati. But I also wanted to discuss it with you, because truly, this is, for this point of the season, nice round number, game number 10, this is the biggest matchup in MLS history, because it is the first time that two teams with 20 points, the Revs and FC Cincinnati, both have 20 points on the young season, face each other.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. It was a crazy statistic to see that from Opta, that at no point in what the 27, 28-year history of Major League Soccer to this point, that two teams 10 games into the season had 20 points and matched up. So it is. It's an early season matchup. Right. I mean, if you ask Bruce Arena about this, he's going to tell you all about how early in the year it is and everybody's still figuring each other out. Nobody really knows who they are yet. But it is, in terms of early season matchups, this feels like a really big one, because there are some teams that are separating themselves league wide and in the Eastern Conference. And the Revs and Cincinnati are two teams that have started to separate themselves from the pack a little bit. So from a Revs perspective, this is an opportunity to kind of test the waters a little bit, figure out exactly where you are in this league, because Cincinnati last year and this year look like they're going to be one of the top teams in the East.
I'm starting to lose my, hey, now I'm kind of new to this card when it comes to MLS stuff. And I had one of those this week, because I was looking at FC Cincinnati stuff and I was like, who leads them in goals? Sergio Santos. And I was like, oh, I remember him from Philly. Because he was on those Philly teams that the Revs would bump into. And I believe he was on the team that the Revs knocked off when when Philly had won the Supporters' Shield.
Correct.
Right? And he is now one of many weapons that that team has. And my concern is that they'll probably come in being like, draw? You want to draw? We'll draw. Want to just do 1 point each? We'll do that. Like, I feel like they'll come in, especially with the conditions being maybe up in the air, no pun intended, air is a big part of weather, look it up. I could see them wanting to keep this thing as boring and as low scoring as possible, but I was talking to our coworker Jason about this. Like, a lot of teams try to do that, and if the home team has their druthers and can really take it to them, then they can still get the result they want.
Yeah, an early goal for the Revs would do wonders tonight against Cincinnati, simply because of the way Cincinnati have picked up the vast majority of their points this year. They've got 5 clean sheets, 4 1-0 wins. So they've done that really consistently to teams this year, where they've kind of frustrated them. They've kept it low scoring. They've kept it scoreless into the late stages. And then they use those attacking weapons that you mentioned, you know, guys like Sergio Santos and Luciano Acosta and Brenner, who we think is going to be available for a bit on Saturday, Brandon Vasquez. They do have a lot of attacking weapons. Those guys that get them the one goal that they need, and they've gotten out of a lot of games with 1-0 wins this year. So is that going to be Cincinnati's approach on Saturday or tonight? I would imagine it probably is. But if the Revs can get an early goal, then they're going to have to come out of their shell a little bit.
I hope there's a big crowd tonight. I hope that place
supposed to be
is packed. And I know that's the expectation. When the Revs have big games, typically the fans let everybody know and they are there. And I want to see big numbers. And you all out there can decide what number that is, but you can also contribute to it. So hopefully get out there, make some noise. This is as big a game as you'll find at this point in the schedule. The Revs also played in an Open Cup game against Hartford this week, picked up a win. A lot of, we'll say, youngsters getting in there for the Revs.
Yeah, when you looked at the age breakdown of the starting lineup, it was basically
5 years old.
It was eight guys who were like 23 and younger, and then you had three veterans in the back, guys like Omar Gonzalez, Ben Sweat, and Earl Edwards, who were all 30 and up.
Yep.
You had zero players in that Revs starting lineup between the ages of 25 and 30. It was basically front-loaded with youngsters. They started five academy players for the first time in club history in a competitive match, and then they had some veteran experience in the back, and it was another one of those games where maybe the performance wasn't the best from start to finish. Hartford certainly gave the Revs a game, but in a knockout competition like that, it's survive and advance. The Revs were able to bring some heavy hitters off the bench, guys like Carlos Hill and Dave Romney, who came in and won the game late, and you move on to the next round when they will host the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
That's where, as a fan, that's what I am first and foremost, I think knock it off. When I see Carlos Hill come in off the bench, I'm like, hey, no fair. This is not in the spirit of the beautiful game. This is mean. Don't put Carlos Hill in.
So I tweeted on Tuesday night. It was that meme that had been around on Twitter a few years ago that was what feels illegal but isn't. And I tweeted, bringing Carlos Hill off the bench in an Open Cup game. Feels illegal. Technically isn't, though.
Yeah, but good to see the Revs continue to get wins. Good to see Ben Sweat get in there. They picked him up last week, and he had played with Kansas City, correct?
He did. He made he had been waived by Kansas City a few weeks ago, came in, joined the Revs, made his debut for the Revs as a late substitute against his former team, Kansas City, and then started the Open Cup game on Tuesday night. So he's getting settled in a little bit.
Revs filling out that back end with Henry Kessler. I don't know how much light we're supposed to shed on this, but did you hear what close personal friend Bruce Arena told me?
I did.
I asked about the spirit of Henry Kessler, because he got that surgery that's supposed to keep him out 4 months. And I don't know what the exact quote is, but the vibe was for sure, like, to quote Bruce Arena about something else, get 4 months out of your head, essentially. It was like, hey, like, we say 4 months, but who knows? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Bruce always wants everybody back as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Henry Kessler know that his timeline is now shorter than 4 months? As he's probably like limping around and doing his best to just kind of get through the days.
Yeah, Bruce sets the timelines.
Love that. And I love the idea. Man, I was doing a little mental math, counting on the fingers. I was like, all right, so what's 4 months? The season, I mean, the season's still going in 4 months anyway, but shorter than 4 months, not only do you have Henry Kessler back for the stretch run, but maybe you have him really hitting peak conditioning.
Well, that's the hope, right? Yeah. Is that once he gets back, he's going to need a little bit of time coming off hamstring surgery, being out for however long it's going to be. He's going to need a little bit of time to get himself fully back up to 100%. So the earlier he can get back at 100%, the better run-in he's going to give himself into hopefully a playoff run.
In the meantime, I love the Farrell Assance. I did want to hit with you, Newcastle, smoking Tottenham.
Yeah, looks like Champions League football locked up for Newcastle. I don't want to speak too soon, but I think it's an eight-point edge over Tottenham with a game in hand now, with only five, six games left in the season. So Newcastle going out, scoring. I slept in like 10 minutes too late last weekend, and by the time I woke up, Newcastle were up 3-0 in the ninth minute. Luckily, I saw two more goals in the next 10 minutes. They were 5-0, 20 minutes into the game. Absolutely smoked Tottenham, then went out on Thursday of this week, beat Everton 4-1, feeling pretty, pretty confident at this point that Newcastle are going to find themselves in the Champions League next year.
I threw that last topic in there because I am absolutely stalling when it comes to the upcoming conversation with Charlie Davies. Charlie is the sweetest, nicest man I have ever met in my life, and things are not going so hot for Arsenal, and we have to talk about that with him, but I've put it off long enough. We'll do that next. Charlie Davies next on the soccer show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Soccer Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, home of the New England Revolution.
Football show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, DJ Bean. I say football because this is where we go global, international, bring in Revs legend, U.S. men's national team legend, friendship with DJ legend, Charlie Davies. You can hear him and see him on Revs broadcasts, Morning Footy on CBS Sports Galazzo. What's up, Charlie?
What's going on? I just landed from London, and I don't even know what day it is or time it is. This week has been a whirlwind, but I am on cloud nine.
I'm glad you're doing well. I've been not wanting to do this block of the show because this is typically where we get some jokes off, and Jeff always makes me ask a question about Arsenal potentially leaving the door open in the EPL title race. And I told Jeff off camera, off whatever, off mic, I told Jeff, I like getting jokes off while it's jokey. And this topic to me now is just sad. I don't want to make jokes about Arsenal because you were there. You were there against Man City. First Arsenal game you attended, right?
First ever Arsenal game I've attended.
And unfortunately, we don't get to do the, did Arsenal leave the door open? Is this, with the drubbing that Arsenal took in this game, 4-1 against Man City, they are now up only 2 points on Man City, I believe. And Man City has 2 games in hand. So the EPL title race is no longer about, are doors open? Is this, it is now Man City's to lose. So I apologize to you that your beloved Arsenal has chunked it, really. How do you feel, and how was that experience?
To be honest, I was just as excited to be there and to experience it all. And knowing that Arsenal are still in the Champions League, finally, to get back into the Champions League and finishing second in the league, it's still a successful season. Yeah, it feels a little rough because everyone's hopes were up. You felt like we're going to win the Premier League title for the first time since 2004. But realistically, the team's not deep enough. So I'm happy they took it this far, but I'm also realistic. They didn't have the quality that Manchester City has, and Manchester City proved that they're the best team in the Premier League. So given that, man, I got to go see Arsenal for the first time. Live my dream. Get to go to the Etihad and watch Manchester City play under Pep Guardiola. I checked so many different boxes. And on top of that, this is something that's really special. I saw at least a handful of Revolution fans in Manchester, England. Whoa. And they were all going to the game. So at least 5 different sets of groups, families going to the match that were New England Revolution fans. So let's go.
That's sick, and that's cool. I mean, obviously throughout MLS, Rev supporters do travel well, and you will find them if they're on the road or if they're at home, whatever. Hopefully tonight we'll pack the place at Gillette Stadium for a big one against FC Cincinnati. But on Manchester City, and I like the way that you're handling this as an Arsenal supporter, tipping your cap to a worthy, even superior opponent. Are they?
Yes.
This will be 3 in a row now, if I'm not mistaken, as far as EPL titles go for Manchester City, right?
Yes.
So they are just...
So it's 4 out of 5. It'll be 5 out of 6 and 3 in a row.
So they are a buzzsaw. Is this stopping anytime soon?
As long as Pep Guardiola is there, no.
Man. So what do you do if you're a team like Arsenal, who maybe isn't quite there yet? I mean, in the NBA, for a while, teams would strategically try to, like, okay, you just got to wait out this team, because as long as this guy is there, they're going to rule. Like, as long as LeBron is in Cleveland, no one's really going to win the East, so you got to wait for him to leave and stuff. And I think the teams have learned now you can't do that, because with how often players move at any given point, a team can just pop up and challenge the powers that be. Is a team going to pop up and push Manchester City off?
Not that I see in the immediate future. Liverpool are going to reinvest in their squad, and there's no doubt about that. But also, they're going to reinvest in their squad, not with full-blown superstars, because they've already said they can't compete with the Real Madrids of the world and the Man Cities of the world. Just in a target like Jude Bellingham, who's probably going to go for around 120 to 140 million this summer. They said they'd rather spend that on three or four players rather than one player. So that kind of puts that into perspective as far as Jeff's Liverpool side, who aren't probably going to see a title for a while. And then on the flip side, you see Chelsea spending all the money in the world, but with no game plan, with no structure, with no manager. Typically, that's not going to lead to success. Man City are stable. They have arguably the best player in the world right now, definitely the most informed player in the world in Erling Haaland. And then you have Kevin De Bruyne, who is back to his best now that they have this partnership and understanding in the attacking third. So Man City aren't going anywhere. Arsenal were in eighth place in the two seasons ago. They moved up to fifth place, and now they're most likely going to finish in second place this season. So steady progress, but when you look at these sides in the Premier League and challenging Manchester City, you have to look at the squad depth and the experience within the squad. When you look at this Arsenal side, is there one player that screams championship pedigree to you? Probably not. No, there's no one that has that experience that if you step on the field, you go, oh man, we got to play against this guy's won 3-4 Premier League trophies. This guy's won a Champions League. We can rely on this guy, this guy, this guy. Those major moments you saw in that match at the Etihad, right off the bat, Martinelli went into a shell dealing with Kyle Walker. And that's just because Kyle Walker came out with this, I'm superior to you. I'm quicker. I'm stronger. I've won. You haven't done anything. You're still a kid. Bukayo Saka was shut down by Akanji. And that was the first time you've seen him kind of get bottled up in throughout 90 minutes. Gabriel Jesus was a ghost. And the midfield, you need your captain to step up in those moments. And it was not only your captain, but Odegaard, Xhaka, and Partey were absolutely played off the park. If your midfield is taken out of the game, and then your coach on top of that, Mikel Arteta still showed his inexperience by not making the necessary adjustments at halftime when you were absolutely getting bullied in the first half. And then you go and sub on Jorginho when you're down goals. That just shows to me as a manager who is still timid and not afraid to make the necessary changes to get back in the game. You're already down 3-0. So what's the difference between, or 2-0, going down 5-0 and losing 5-0, or getting back in the game in 2-2, 3-2, make it tight. If you get a little bit more aggressive. So the Arsenal side has a long way to go, but still it's an improvement. It's a big step in the right direction. Newcastle is the one that you probably kind of got to worry about because it's not that they've gone out and spent on mega superstars. They're back in the Champions League next season. They will finish in the top four. And with that bankroll behind them, they're now going to be able to attract certain types of profiles they wouldn't be able to necessarily get in the past. So That's a team that is scary and on the up because of the ownership. And you don't know where Man United is going. Marcus Rashford said he's not going to sign a new deal unless the ownership sorts itself out. So with all that kind of going on in the Premier League, Manchester City is ahead above everyone else, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I'm holding out hope that, Charlie, next week we'll be talking about Manchester City leaving the door open. And that
West Ham wins.
Yeah, they're now finding a way to screw it up and let a team like Arsenal back in it. Big news on the international front as it relates to the Revolution this week. Inter have agreed to terms on a 4-year deal with Club Bruges and Canadian national team wingback Tejan Buchanan. I'm reading this on a website that I can't pronounce because it's a soccer thing and I'm an absolute idiot. But Tejan Buchanan, I think we all knew when he left the Revs, was going to be taking steps and continue to kind of rise up the ranks. He now is on his way to Inter. Is this a good move for him?
It's a fantastic move for Tejan Buchanan. One, it's the dream of all dreams to go from Belgium, which is a stepping stone league. It's a league that is a proven league in terms of developing talent and then selling you to the next step. And I think careers are all about taking the right step, the trajectory of your career. You can't go from 0 to 100. It's got to be a steady process. And if I'm looking at Tejan's just level going from the Revolution, where he was phenomenal getting the transfer to Club Bruges, I think there was a big learning curve in terms of the demand in the ins and out of playing at a high level every single day in training and then in the matches and trying to figure out where am I in the totem pole. So just breaking it down that way, and now going to an Inter side that plays in a 3-5-2, and he'll be used as a wing back. And what we saw is Denzel Dumfries with the Netherlands, who looks to maybe leaving Inter this summer. DeMarco plays on the left, Dumfries on the right. We've seen Dumfries in the World Cup, unfortunately, score against the U.S. In that World Cup knockout round match. But ultimately, I think that's where Tejan will be. And it's a one, positionally, it's a great spot for him. Two, Inter, Serie A. This is the history that Inter have. Living in Milan, it's a dream come true for Tejan. I couldn't be happier for him. And it's just, again, New England Revolution are spreading their wings across the globe. There's going to be more recognition. Naturally, the supporters of Inter are going to say, who is this Tejan kid? Where did he come? Where did he develop from? Oh, New England Revolution, Major League Soccer. Now there's just more eyeballs on the New England Revolution and more awareness. So the global representation is fantastic. I love to see it. Like I said, New England Revolution is massive. The fans are out in the streets in Manchester, England. I go from Manchester, New Hampshire to Manchester, England, and the New England Revolution are still present. Let's go!
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Charlie Davies, always the best. Always great talking to you. We'll hear you tonight on the call against FC Cincinnati. On the other side, we will have Brad Feldman on the Soccer Show.
Come on, you Rebs!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. The Soccer Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, home of the New England Revolution.
Soccer Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub, DJ Bean joined by the voice of the New England Revolution, Brad Feldman. How are you, pal?
Good. Looking forward to being on your show. When do we start?
What if we did an actual straight-laced segment where we were like really just like doing...
You just gave the game away. I think everybody thought we were being straightforward.
Definitely. Lots of X's and O's to get to. FC Cincinnati in town. FC Cincinnati in town. Boy, oh boy, are they good. They've only lost one game, much like the New England Revolution. The biggest, I've been pushing it all week, the biggest MLS game at this point of the season ever.
Battle for first place.
Ever.
Two leaders in the Supporter Shield standings.
Two teams with 20 points. That never happens in the first 10 games of the season.
Well, it has never happened before that FC Cincinnati has been a power, but they are under Pat Noonan. They're good, except they did get drubbed by expansion St. Louis a couple of weeks ago, they've had a couple of road draws against substandard teams. But that said, they are very good. Their attack worries me from a Revolution perspective.
Interesting. And is that just their attack, or is it that the Revs on the back end have been mixing and matching some pieces? Although we are in the middle of the Farrellissance. I don't know if you know about this.
I like that.
First time I've ever said it.
Farrellissance?
But yeah.
It flows off the tongue.
It's the Andrew Farrell Renaissance.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he's a Renaissance man anyway.
He's a Renaissance man. I think he would argue that he was never in the Dark Ages, that he was just injured for a few games.
What Dark Ages?
Yeah, yeah. But Kessler and Romney are playing very well together. Farrell's come in and looked really like young Andrew Farrell. He's getting around pretty well. And I think having Romney next to him will be... continue to be a boon, because Romney makes the guy next to him look good. Romney's been the sleeper signing of the season so far in MLS in my book. But that said, if they had Kessler back there, I'd be feeling the same way. Sergio Santos.
Mm-hmm. Old friend from Philly.
Yeah, and he has right now the highest goals per minute rate in the league. He has 3 goals in 8 prior matches against New England. And his setup guy has always put it on the Revs, too. Luciano Acosta is, you know, along with Carlos Hill, one of the top playmakers, and is just difficult to track. He's a, you know, he's a little water bug out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean. Like, you know, they could have Maldini, you know, and Nesta back there, and I'd be worried about this since he attacked the way they're going right now.
You mentioned Dave Romney. I saw him the other day, and I said, Dave, every week on that soccer show of ours, we pump your tires. We say, what a get, what a signing. You know what he said? He said, shut up, I don't care. Just kidding. He was very, very flattered.
He would have said that with his eyes, though.
No, no. He had like a sincere...
Can we call
like,
him the governor?
The governor, because Romney...
You're smelling what I'm cooking there.
Famously, he's related.
Distantly, apparently. Yeah.
I never spoken to him about that. Usually, yeah, he's
not really trying to promote that. He's probably like, oh, geez, I'm going to the Revs. Everybody's going to ask me about my third uncle once removed or whatever.
Yeah,
the
no,
governor.
He's my kind of senator. Guy, though. He came on this show, swore a bunch. We had to bleep it. It was great.
Don't believe that either.
So, Gustavo Boe on the field on Tuesday.
Yeah, do you think he'll start?
I don't think he'll start because once they got down to the nitty gritty, the real, like, once they got down to slow dances, if you catch my drift, once things started to get real out there, he was more kind of hanging on the sides, goofing around.
I think we'll see Gustavo Boe maybe in a similar role, not positionally, but to what Bruce Arena is forced to do against Hartford in the cup match, which is like, all right, you guys are being a real nuisance.
Yeah.
It's 1-1. Here's Carlos Hill. Wham!
Say
big foot, game over.
Carlos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so if things are tight, it'd be good to have La Pantera as sort of a, you know, joker in the deck. But you can't run him out after he's been injured for a 90-minute shift, I don't think.
How about Bobby Wood?
I don't know about his fitness. Like, I know he's trained, and he's got a great engine, you know. Either both, I don't know. It's hard to say.
All right, that bell you heard means it's once again time to talk about Giacomo Vrione here on the Soccer Show. We do it every week with Brad Feldman, as always.
A Vrionissance, if you will.
Yes, it's a welcome to the Vrionissance. Although, so he for sure had a Dark Ages, but what came before the Dark Ages?
I think it was like the fall of the Roman Empire. They're you know, late. Like the 800s, right? Like the 700s is long Byzantine, maybe, period.
Okay, so I don't know if he ever had like a Byzantine period with the Revs. I think that mainly Dark Ages, but...
Dark Ages were... world history is way... It's sort of dark in my mind.
I'm clearly very rusty on it.
Yeah, there was a long spread there where the human beings weren't doing very well before then the Middle Ages and then the Renaissance, you know?
Soccer Show on 98.5 The Sports.
Yeah, we're way off the course.
Oh, no, right where I want it. 2 goals last week, though, and he
Giacomo's got game, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and you were saying it, too. It was going to come good eventually. Let's just, you know, hope he can stay fit, because that's what held him back last year was that knee injury he showed up with. We didn't see the best of him. You know, the goal he scored against Montreal, where he took it off his chest, made that individual run, I think opened a lot of eyes to what his... You know, his bag is his skill set, and if he can stay fit, play with confidence, he is a legit DP forward.
You know me, I'm deep in the analytics, always pouring through the stats, and I was on one of my favorite websites for advanced stats, MLS.com/stats. There you're just going to find your goals, your clean sheets. You're going to get a lot of stuff.
Digging deep there, huh?
And I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and darn it, if I didn't wear out my mouse trying to get to a player on the New England Revolution on the goals list. And eventually, I happened upon a guy named Giacomo Vrione. He has 3 goals to lead the New England Revolution. This team is in first place and does not have a player with more than 3 goals. It speaks to... the injuries, of course, but also, ain't that a pretty good thing?
Yeah, spread the wealth. You don't rely on one guy. I agree with that. Goals can come from a lot of different places, but I think Bruce Arena would say we need to score more of them. If you know, and he would like to have a guy pressing for double digits. You know, Carlos Hill is, you know, he missed a little time, but he's getting or climbing the ladder in chances created. And that's really, for me, the key metric. It doesn't matter who taps at home.
Right.
If Carlos is out there scanning and slicing and dicing, then the Revs are in good shape.
And it ain't a money ball situation either, because I feel like you can be excited about that as long as you have a Gustavo Bo, someone who actually has been that guy who's scoring all the goals, and it was him and Buxa for a long time. He just hasn't been healthy. And
if you can get Bo and Vrioni out there... Now we're on to something.
You got a stew going, as they say.
Exactly. You're smelling what I'm cooking.
Exactly. Okay. This has been probably the cleanest and best of the Brad Feldman, DJ Bean segments.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and get my historical timeline in order. Yeah.
Felger and Maz are in trouble. I think that when they hear this duo
coming. World history, you know, before 7 a.m., it's good stuff. Everybody's waking up now.
I'm so glad I get to do this. All right, we will be back with Shalrie Joseph, Revs legend, on The Soccer Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Soccer Show on your home for Boston sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Soccer Show 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thrilled to have this guest, Revs legend, former captain, now assistant coach, Shalrie Joseph. Shalrie, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, DJ. It's been a long time I've been on the radio, so I'm looking forward to hearing you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. And so I'm a big Revs fan, but I'm a recent Revs fan, like last 5 years. Okay. So I think my first exposure to you might have been hearing you on the radio. You would do stuff with Hardy, right?
Yeah, I did. I had a great time with him, working with him.
Yeah, so when they were like, yeah, we got Shalrie this week. Obviously, I've since learned all your contributions to the organization. But I was like, oh, hell yeah, another radio guy. So nice. awesome to speak with you. Big one this weekend, FC Cincinnati. I believe the biggest matchup at this point in the season in MLS history, because I read it's the first time that two teams with 20 points have faced each other in the first 10 games. So how big of a challenge will Cincinnati be?
It'll be huge. They're one of the best teams right now. When you look at the MLS from what they've done in the last couple of years to where they are now, they've had such a huge growth. And it's going to be a huge matchup for us in terms of offensively and defensively. The way they play, the style of soccer they play, and the way we've been playing, we're going to need to bring our best game this weekend, best game tomorrow, especially against the likes of Santos and Vasquez and Acosta. They have guys that can hurt you on the offensive side if you're not aware where they are on the field. So it's going to be one of those games where it makes a difference in set piece or something like that. But we got to be aware of who they are and make sure that we respect them, but not fear them and be ready to play tomorrow.
On paper, it would stand to reason that Cincinnati would be very cool coming in here and just getting a draw. Road game against the top team in the league. How do you take it to a team that might be okay with trying to keep it tight and low scoring?
The good thing about it, we have faced teams already this early in the season that come in here and sit back a little bit and just wanted a point on the road. And our mentality at home is we go after it right from the start. And we always the aggressor of the two teams, whether we're on the road or home. Bruce mentality is we don't play differently. We play the way we are. And our DNA is we on the front foot. We're aggressive. We want to score the first goal. And that might come late in the game, but we're going to stay aggressive no matter what. And someone like Pat Noonan, who I had the pleasure to play with and have a little bit of conversation with, especially this preseason, he's aggressive too. So it's going to be a matchup of two of the best minds in soccer, you think. Even though Pat's a little bit younger in terms of experience, it'll be very aggressive the way he is as nature.
Yeah, I talked to Bruce Arena the other day about the Cincinnati coaching staff. He said one of their assistants especially, he said, is a dope, referring to his beautiful son, Kenny Arena. But yeah, as you said, you've played with Pat Noonan, and now you see him coaching and being one of the better and more promising coaches in MLS. What does he bring as a manager?
I think he brings that insight in the game that is lacking now in terms of the intelligence that you need as a coach. He understands how to, as a player, he understands how to beat players, how to be great offensive-minded. And I think that's what he does with Cincinnati. He gives them the freedom to express themselves, even within a structure. And then he's been able to put the pieces around his best players, players like Acosta and Vasquez. He's been able to add midfielders like Mbogo and then Miag's guy in the back. He's been able to find some great pieces. And just like we did here, we surrounded our team with we surrounded Carlos with some of the best players, whether it be the Duan, the Brandon. We brought in Dave Romney this year, and then Andrew's been here forever, which is a great thing for this organization. And then we have the likes of young players that's been talented, like Noel and Matt Post in the midfield. We've been able to surround Carlos with some of the best pieces in the league. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup, especially the way they play and the way how aggressive we are from the start of the whistle on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be very intriguing.
As a midfielder, what do you think of the group that this team has been able to build there?
I love it. I love what they've done from top to bottom. Chris Albright's done a great job over there. Like I said, giving Pat the freedom, giving him whatever he needs to build a team around him. And the way you do it is having the right mentality, and they do it. They're great ball winners in the midfield, and you can tell they work hard for each other, and that's the thing you need. To be a good team, you need that kind of culture on your team. And we've been developing this over the past couple of years, and we still have far to go. We're not complacent or happy where we are, but we know this matchup will tell a lot about where we are as a team and where we are mentality-wise.
What made you want to get into coaching? Is it just too hard to be away from the game, or what drew you to this?
For me, it's always been the love of just being a soccer player, just playing the game, and it's so enjoyable. But what drew me is trying to find a solution to a game that I played. I love the X's and O's. I love trying to figure out how to beat a team. I study a lot of soccer from the, you name it, I watch it. So I think being a coach and then having the opportunity to lend my knowledge of what I've been through as a player, it drew me even closer to the game.
I think that's what's so great about sports, that it is always changing. And you can have conversations about, hey, would this player from today work in this? And like, yep. the rules are largely the same, but whether it's diet, whether it's training, whether it's coaching, tactics, it's kind of wild that the same number of players, the same field and everything is always this ever-evolving puzzle.
It is. And that's what makes it so fun and so enjoyable. Like, we do have this conversation, would I be able to play in the midfield now, here and there? And I'm like, yeah, I would love the opportunity to be around these guys because I know how talented the Noel, the Matt Bolster, the Tico, whoever it is in the midfield, Latif now this year, such a great ball winner. So all these players that we have brought in or been a part of this organization, I think the sky's the limit, especially for the young cast we have. But I look forward to it. I love being around here, and I love being a part of this organization.
What's it like coaching with Bruce?
It's
doing
it's
anything with Bruce is that should get a laugh.
Yeah, it's a dream come true, man. To be in this position, I couldn't ask for a better position to be in, and to be in an organization to learn from him. Every day is just an enjoyable day. We don't look at it as work; we look at it as learning and just being a part of something special. He makes it fun to be around. He always telling you how to get better or little things like that. How to understand. The biggest thing is understanding players' mentality and how to get everything out of them. And that's the things that he strives for the most, is making sure that we have a great organization to work with, a great staff to be around, and then making sure that we have fun. At the end of the day, we're doing something that we were born to do and love to do sometime when we were young. So for me, it's thank you. That's all I can say for Tim, is just thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, just coming from the media side of it, he's one of my favorite people, whether it's coach, player, whatever, that I've covered, because he definitely tells you what he thinks.
Yeah, he does.
And if you're being a wise guy, he'll definitely participate in that with you, but he still kind of gives respect for the whole thing, and you actually come away from it knowing a little more than you did before. And from the media side, that can be a frustrating thing of the process, where it's like, all right, I understand you guys don't want to give us anything, but yeah. you I, I at least, maybe it's because I'm still learning about soccer, but I come away a little more knowledgeable each time I deal with him, and I just feel like that's kind of his thing. Shalry, awesome to talk to you. Really appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to you. And come out to the game, everyone. We're looking forward to a great crowd.
Oh, yeah, it should be crazy. All right, that'll do it for the Soccer Show. I'm DJ Bean. We'll talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.